بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue the class on the description of the Salah, and this is part number 5, and this part deals with the opening dua. With the opening dua, we have covered the one type of dua in the last class, and the question now is, are there other types of opening du'as in the salah? The answer is yes. There are different types of opening du'as. And in fact, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah authored a treatise covering the types of du'a, which is known as du'a al-istiftah, the opening supplication. And some of these opening du'as are affirmed in the Sahihain, meaning in Al-Bukhari and in Muslim, and others are others appeared also as authentic in the Sunan. And from that which appeared in Sahih Al-Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim is the hadith of Abi Huraira. Is the narration of Abi Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, when he said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا كبر للصلاة سكتة هنيها. When the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to make the takbir for the salah, he used to pause for a while. So I said to him, بأبي أنت وأمي يا رسول الله. May my parents be sacrificed for you, O Messenger of Allah. أرأيت سكوتك بين التكبير والقراءة ما تقول. Concerning your pause between the takbir and the recitation, what do you say? What do you say in this pause? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أقولُ, I say, اللهم باعد بيني وبين خطاياي كما باعدت بين المشرق والمغرب. اللهم نقني من خطاياي كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس. اللهم اغسلني من خطاياي بالماء والثلج والبرد. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him the following dua: O Allah, separate me from my sins as you have separated far the east and the west. O Allah, cleanse me of my sins as white cloth, as white cloth is cleansed from dirt. O Allah, wash me of my sins with water, ice and snow. So this is another type of dua al-istiftah, dua of supplication for the opening of salah. And as the scholars, may Allah's mercy be upon them, made it clear, it is better to diversify in the du'as. One time you do one type, another time you do another. Why? In order to cover the sunan, in order to cover the ways of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, all of them. And also in that there will be ihya'un lis-sunnah, revival to the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Not only that, but rather this is ahdaru lil-qalb. This brings the presence of the heart. Because if the person follows a certain way and sticks to it, it becomes like a habit. Now, let us go now for the explanation, as our Shaykh rahimahullah, the explanation covering this hadith, the explanation and the meaning of this hadith, meaning this supplication for istiftah, opening the salah. Here, as affirmed in this hadith of Abi Huraira, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pause for a short while, and it is the keen sense of Abi Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, for knowledge and for seeking knowledge, attested to in fact by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam himself, which drove him to ask as to what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says during this moment of pause. In fact, the attestation to Abi Huraira's seriousness about seeking the knowledge came in the following encounter with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him once, or when he rather asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ya Rasulallah, man as'adu an-nasi bi shafa'atik? He asked him, O Allah's Messenger, who will be the luckiest person who will gain your intercession, meaning on the day of resurrection? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam answered, لقد ظننت ألا يسألني أحد عن هذا غيرك لما أرى من حرصك على العلم. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, O Abu Huraira, I have thought that none will ask me about this before you, as I know you and as I know your longing for the learning of hadith. Then he answered him by saying, أَسْعَدُ النَّاسِ بِشَفَاعَتِي مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ خَالِصًا مِّنْ قَلْبِهِ. He told him, the luckiest person who will have my intercession on the day of resurrection will be the one who said, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ خَالِصًا مِّنْ قَلْبِهِ. The one who said there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, sincerely from the bottom of his heart. So here, when Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam paused between takbir and between recitation, knowing that the salah, all of it is remembrance, all of the salah is remembrance, whether in action or in saying, he knew that the Prophet ﷺ must be saying something. So he told him, what do you say in this moment of pause? He told him, Allahumma ba'id, O Allah, distance me and separate me from my sins as you have separated the east and west. Here it means that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Allah to separate him, to distance him from his sins, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distant between the east and west. And this separation between the east and west, when people use this statement, they want to express the great remoteness of two things when they compare them. So people exaggerate when they want to describe the distance between two things. Either they say the distance between the earth and the heavens, or that between the east and the west. And here the Prophet ﷺ invoked Allah, ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayai, O Allah, distance me from my sins. Meaning, distance me, and so that I don't indulge in doing the sins. Not only that, and between me and between the consequences of doing sins, meaning the punishment. And also in his statement, he said, O Allah, cleanse me of my sins as white cloth is cleansed from dirt. And this means, it tells that he intended the sins which occurred from him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he said, نَقِّنِي مِنْهَا, purify me as the white cloth or the white thobe is purified of dirt or filth. It becomes clean, white clean. Mentioning the white because it is the most of the clothes that gets affected rather easily by dirt and filth, in contrast with, for example, the black. And that's why during the winter days, the black or dark clothes stays longer on the person. However, the white ones stay for shorter periods. It turns dirty easily. Then afterwards, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the invocation, O Allah, Allahumma ghsilni min khatayaya bil ma'i wal thalji wal barad. O Allah, cleanse me of my sins with snow, water and ice. Of water, snow and ice. So in the first statement, seeking distance between himself and the sins, so that I don't indulge in sins, then if I do, then purify me from them and remove their consequences. By what? By purification. In this case, he mentioned the water, the snow, and the ice. What is the occasion of using the snow, the water, and the ice? Knowing that the warm water is more effective in cleaning. The people of knowledge said, rahimahumullah, they said, it is because the sins, the consequences of sins, lies in punishment in hell. And hellfire is intense in heat. And fit, therefore, the purification of something hot with something cold. So, in the water, there is the cleansing. And in the ice and the snow, there is also, no doubt, there is cleansing. However, the ice and the snow, being mentioned here, is for cooling. And such an explanation, there is no doubt that it has its good merits of standing. This is the meaning of the hadith of Abi Huraira. Still, however, remains to be asked, does really the Prophet ﷺ commit sins? The answer, let us listen to what the Prophet ﷺ said in the dua. Allahumma ghsilni min khatayai. O Allah, wash me or cleanse me of my sins. Cleanse me of my sins. So he attributed them to himself. And then he said, in another hadith, in another invocation, which came in Sahih Muslim, اللهم اغفر لي ذنبي كله دقه وجله علانيته وسره أوله وآخره. O Allah, forgive me all my sins. Forgive me all my sins. Small and great. First and last. Open and secret. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Muhammad in chapter 47 verse 19. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ in Surah Muhammad chapter 47 verse 19. And seek forgiveness for your sin and for the also for the sin of the believing men and the believing women. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Fath chapter 48 verse 2, لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ, that Allah may forgive you your sins of the past and the future and complete His favor on you and guide you on the straight path. The matter, however, is, and this is the whole matter, is the continuity on the sin or not with respect to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The answer, there is no continuity, because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is infallible in this respect. Infallible because he is protected from continuing on sin. Infallible in being protected from continuing on sin and forgiven, in contrast to others who may sin and continue on that and who may not be forgiven. However, with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, it's inevitable that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring notify to him, irrespective of the matter. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala admonished the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in Surah At-Tahrim, verse 1, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ لِمَ تُحَرِّمُ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكَ تَبْتَغِي مَرْضَاتَ أَزْوَاجِكَ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. O Prophet, why do you ban for yourself that which Allah has made lawful to you, seeking to please your wives? Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. This is the decisive matter in this issue. With respect to this issue, which is a source of dispute amongst people. It remains to be reminded, however, that there are certain sins, and with certainty and without any doubt, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is completely protected from indulging in. This includes lying, treason, because if it is said that this is possible with respect to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, then this will constitute censoring and rendering the message reputable. or rebukable. Alayhi salatu wasalam. And this would never ever take place. Similarly, he is infallible, alayhi salatu wasalam, from committing anything which may affect in a negative way the foundation of worships and also the essence of morality, like shirk, like despicable character, like indulging in zina, fornication and or adultery and the like. However, with respect to the other minor sins, this is possible and they are expiated and forgiven, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave his first and last. The Shaykh rahimahullah said on this, قلت ذلك, I have mentioned this here because some of the scholars rahimahumullah, may Allah's mercy be upon them, said that whatever is mentioned concerning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sins, then this refers to the sins of his ummah, because he is infallible, does not commit any sin whatsoever. And whatever sin he attributed to himself, that means, according to their saying, the sins of his ummah. And there is no doubt, the Shaykh added, rahimahullah, أن هذا قول فيه ضعف, that this saying has weakness in it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asserted in the verse in Surah Muhammad, chapter 47, verse 19, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, seek forgiveness for your sin and for the sin of the believers. And here there is the letter وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and the believer. And this is an article or a letter of conjugation. Al-Atf and conjugation indicates distinction. When there is a conjugation between two words, there is a distinction in meaning. And in fact, that the Prophet ﷺ attributing some sins to him does not in any way stand as something as incompletion in his message, or incompletion in the deen, or in his character, or something like that, or imperfection. Not at all. Why? Because he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, does not continue on that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not approve him on that. Not only that, he is also forgiven. And here we mention that many times the person is better after the sin than before it. So many times the person sins and indulge or fall in sin, then he finds in himself humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before the hands of Allah azza wa jal, the most mighty and most majestic, and longing for repentance. And then he sees his sin fixed before his eyes. On the other hand, the person may see himself, a person may see himself as an obedient person, and that he is from the people of obedience, and therefore he becomes arrogant and proud, and does not return to Allah in repentance. And this will corrupt his deen for himself. And Allah, the most mighty and most majestic, is Hakim, is all wise. He, Azza wa Jal, may afflict with the sin, so that to correct the condition of a person. And Adam, alayhi salam, هل حصل لآدم الاجتباء إلا بعد المعصية والتوبة منها. Listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Taha concerning Adam, chapter 2, verse 122. ثم اجتباه ربه. Then his Lord chose him. When? After committing the sin and after he repented. Then his Lord chose him and turned to him with forgiveness and gave him guidance. Also, examine the situation with those from the companions who stayed behind and did not share in the conquest of Tabuk, in the battle of Tabuk. What happened to them? There is no doubt that their state of Iman intensified afterwards and their status raised to higher levels. Before, higher than the levels they had before. And would you imagine that verses being recited until the day of resurrection concerning the affair of these three who stayed behind, except for the fact that what occurred to them from Iman and from repentance. Would you imagine this to occur without that? Certainly no. Verses mentioned, recited until the day of resurrection concerning their situation, because there was an intense change in their situation. So what is important that the man, that the person is not infallible concerning sins and errors. However, the Prophets والسلام, are infallible in the sense that we have discussed. That is, no continuation on an error or a sin. And that they repent, and they must repent. And Allah forgives them. Case. Is it permissible to combine the two opening supplications, doing them at the same time before recitation of the Quran? The answer, no. Because the evidence for this is in the fact that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered Abu Huraira by teaching him this supplication, not mentioning the previous supplication which we learned earlier, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, indicating that they are not to be combined together. There are other opening supplications and they are long. And these are fit for the night prayer. Because the night prayer is long. And or the person may say them if he is praying alone. However, if he is praying in congregation as an imam, then it will be difficult for those praying with him that the imam stays pausing for a long time, bringing forth these supplications. And we know now that the Prophet ﷺ used this narration of dua while making the congregational prayer himself, and therefore he is our best example to follow. Case. Can these opening supplications be used in Salat al-Janaza, in the funeral prayer? Answer. There is difference of opinion amongst the scholars. Some of the scholars said they may be used because the funeral prayer is a type of prayer. And generally, the Prophet ﷺ opened the Salah with, after Takbir, with a dua. The other opinion is that they are not to be used because Salatul Janaza is light. There is no ruku', no sujood, no tashahud, indicating that the legislator, in this case with respect to Salatul Janaza, took care of the fact that it is a light prayer, and this opinion is closer the closest of the two. Then afterwards, after the opening dua, then the believer in the salah makes isti'adha, seeking refuge in Allah from the shaitan, the accursed shaitan. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.